Hoi, 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 cheeky monkeys.
Toppy, toppy, toppy.
It's Bergkamp.
Hashtag fuck Ellis.
That's magnificent.
Hello, John.
Up and out.
Well done. Bye bye.
Hello, dear viewer, and welcome to A Verkamp Wonderland. We are an Arsenal podcast. If your name's Mr. Shredder, put your hand up. Are you here? For those listening at home, Shredder is waving his hand.
I was muted.
Is Mr. Carpenter here? If you're here, wave your hand and say something.
Daniel, Jason, pleasure. I've missed all of our five listeners. Good to see you all. Thank you.
Bless them. Right, have you both got your YouTube channels muted?
No, but my speakers aren't on, so that's just as good.
Living the life. Right. As is customary, in the chat box, there is Michael from Sweden. There is Jimmy the Greek. I'm not going to say he's from Greekland. He might not be. Haroon Shabir. Kieran with some numbers. Who else is in there? Peter Green. He may be green. He may be not. Nobody knows. Matt Roberts, who I think we know from Twitter. VCC Highbury Boy. Oh, there's Loki. I've just had a thunderstorm, Loki. Want to watch out? It's on its way up to you. Who else is in there? Varun, Dunkieran. Ah, Joshua Page. So when you scroll up and down on this thing, you lose where you were. Oh, Basti LZ. K-Man. Ah, hello. And, there's a certain... Don't tell them I'm naked, Jace, for God's sake. He's wearing a shirt. He didn't tell you you're naked. I just did. Right then, dear listeners and viewers, tonight we're just going to cover the two games, the preseason games in America, that I think Mr. Shredder was probably at both of them. We're not going to talk about the fact that it's 44 degrees here, and I'm sweating like Christopher at the bringing by sale for
Pirate
Goods.
Careful. You could have used John there, but you went for the cheap option and used me. I'm disappointed.
John has no interest in pirate goods. Leatherware, now you're talking.
Oh, God. Imagine John in Lederhosen. Fuck me. Jesus.
Jolly good. So we're going to do that. And then Chris is going to talk to us about our two transfers because I didn't know even any of them existed until about a week ago.
Not just me. I'm sure Jace will have plenty to say as well.
Datac LBC is there. Arsenio Wenger. And I'll try that again. Arsenio Wonga is there. There you go.
Wonga out.
It helps if I read it first and then say it, not the other way around, because that doesn't work, does it? So, Mr. Shredder, were you at both of the games this preseason recently?
I was. I was at the Charlotte match and then also at the DC match. Really,
that's Fiorentina and Real Madrid.
Yeah, it was Fiorentina. Yeah. I think it was on Ars blog, on the Arscast on Monday, said that there was maybe a half of a Fiorentina fan. To be fair to Fiorentina fans, last minute, I did see about six or seven Fiorentina jerseys. So they all said Stefan Jovetic, so I don't know how recent that is. It was a really good time. It was nice having I'm only 2 hours, a two-hour car ride away from Charlotte, so it was nice having the Arsenal, literally my backyard, and we took the train down that day and saw them and had an absolute blast, and then drove up with everybody's favorite, the Lion Gooner on Twitter, Chris Lodato, who also won the ABW Pro Clubs, and he came up and was at the Charlotte game with me as well, and we drove up on Monday for the DC game. So I'm sure we'll get into each one in a little bit more in detail, but yeah, I was at both of them, and that's also why I'm still sounding like this, is because about 13 minutes into the DC match, I completely lost my voice and just kept going.
Why was that? What were you doing?
We were in the end that the Madrid defenders were defending in at the start of that match. So there was a lot of the C word directed at Sergio Ramos, at Keylor Navas, a few F bombs.
See all four goals in because you had some of the best seats in the house, didn't you?
Yeah, I was very, very fortunate. I had a third row seats just behind the goal. There, you could actually see me on some of the highlights there. My fat jiggly gut jumping up and down as Lacazette scored his penalty, and then as Aubameyang coolly rounded Navas. So, and then unfortunately for the Gareth Bale goal, which I was able to let him know that nobody wants him. Madrid doesn't want him. Nobody in England wants him. China doesn't want him, and his own mother doesn't want him, which is why he won't find a club this year. So Yeah, but the voice shall recover. Although my girlfriend does say that she likes my new jazz voice, is what she's calling it, because I'm sexy and raspy now.
So does that mean she'll stop ringing up Chris after Whisper Sweet Nothings down the phone?
Yes, it will.
Because so. Those international calls, they were costing you two a fortune.
Mate, honestly, it's not good business.
No, that's terrible. So what was your highlight of the game, of the Fiorentina game? Because that was really a really impressive start to the game. And I thought, I wasn't expecting them to roll over the way they did. And we could have won that game, what, maybe 6 or 7-0? Fiorentina just didn't seem like they cared about it.
Yeah, at one point I remember leaning over to my buddy Brett, and I said, "This looks like a preseason friendly being played in 35°C plus weather that nobody really wants to play in right now." That's the feeling that I got about 20 minutes in. But no, it was really good, you know, and a lot of youth started. It was a youthful midfield with Olyinka, Willock and Burton in there, and I think Olyinka played really well. Burton was a little quiet, you know, at times, but he's such a young player, and you know, if Freddie sort of rates him, I think we need to, you know, give him a little chance to develop. And then obviously Joe Willock, I think, has been really the talk of this preseason, and he absolutely bossed the midfield that game. It was really, really fun to watch, and I think though probably my favorite sort of thing from that game was watching Saku sort of back up and hold onto the ball, and then I think it was release Willock or Nketiah into the box there for the first goal. And it was just such a, you know, to see such a young lad go against, you know, Italian defenders, and Fiorentina had a good bit of their first team out. That's what Mr. John Welsh was saying. And to have, you know, Italian defenders are sort of known for the physicality and getting stuck in, and for a young player like Saku to get stuck in like that, hold up the ball well, and then find the on-running midfielder, or I can't remember who laid it off to. But, yeah, it was really, really good, really positive. And then, of course, you know, Martinelli coming in and you know, full speed megging the defender, and just literally about, you know, 7-8 inches wide, which is what she said. And then, yeah, just a really, really great all-around goal. And then you saw the leadership from Lacazette a little bit later on when he had the ball in the box, and that's sort of where his forte is, but instead he lays it off and lets I think Willock get a goal in there after Eddie had already scored two. So you know, it was really positive from that. The one negative thing that I'll say about it, and just trying to watch, and I try to not be negative about this guy because he's the current boo boy at the club, but people talk about how slow Mustafi's turn is, but at one point, or not Mustafi, but Mertesacker, at one point Mustafi's turn was so slow, and he legitimately was the slowest person on the pitch. And I thought, come on, man, you're not doing yourself any favors at this right now. But no, it was you know, it was a decent game. It was fun. It was hot. You know, 98% plus Gooners in the stands, and I know the stands look pretty empty, but that's a massive stadium. And to have Roma back out and Fiorentina come in, I think it was represented well. And a big shout out to the Queen City Gooners as well, who sort of organized all the fan fests down downtown at Rira as well. And that was a great time, and really good to see. Met up with a bunch of Chris's friends from the Orlando Gooners. Met up with our good friend Jimmy Robson from the Richmond Gooners, and also Mike from the Gooners pod. So not to mention seeing all my friends from my local group here at the Triangle Gooners, who I'm proud to say were the loudest ones in the pub at the pregame. Everybody knew where the Triangle crew was. So it was an absolute blast, really good win on a really hot day. You know, got some young players, some really good experience, and that's what matters.
Excellent. Chris, did you see the game?
Fiorentina. I must admit, I saw highlights only. I'm in the John and Jason school of I didn't see it this year, unfortunately. Work, life, family balance is that I can't stay up watching Argentinian fifth division games anymore. So that includes pre-season.
But we'll come into. So on the highlights that you saw, who stood out for you?
Do you know what I know we're going to talk about Madrid in a minute, but I'd like to talk about the games as a whole, all of the American tour, because
I think come back to Jason to talk about a Madrid game after you.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think, you know, from highlights, you only get to see so much. What I've been really impressed with in terms of the the tour itself, what Jason said, the fans have been brilliant. There was a viral video, wasn't there, of a young lass in tears, filmed by her boyfriend, first time she's ever seen the club and stuff.
I think that could have well been filmed in the last era of the Wenger days, because we were all in tears back then.
Well, there is that. Either that, or when Jace was last on this pod, or in fact, actually, when Ellis is ever announced to be anywhere near this pod, people just lose their shit and cry, which is understandable. Fuck Ellis. It's genuinely heartwarming, and I think, like, in the modern era of football, we all get a bit wrapped up in how much a club means to us from a UK and a London perspective. I don't think us in the UK, or us closest to the club, really appreciate that there are some fans around the world that will only see the club they love once, or may only ever get the opportunity to see the club they love once. And I'm a big fan of these tours. I know there is a bit of me, I'm sure, Danny, you feel the same, that still sort of misses those good old days of us and taking 15 first team players to an Austrian mountain and kicking some goats up in the air for 3 games, or Scotland, or down to Torquay or something. But you know, the way the world is and the marketing and that dictates we go around the world. I think the tour to Singapore was a huge success until Simon and Neil got there, and obviously it all went a bit wrong. The Australian tour was brilliant, and the US tour again has been fantastic. So from that perspective, and from the fans, the atmosphere is great. And I know some people, no matter what you say, they'll be like, "Oh, foreign fans, blah blah blah." That's fine if you have that opinion. You know, it says more about you than I think it does.
It's funny, the foreign fans just complain about local boys. So it's a two-way street. That's fine.
Swings and roundabouts, isn't it? But the game stateside, Jace, you sort of vouch for this. And like you said, Chris and Jimmy, big MLS fans. The game's gone a lot bigger in the US, particularly with the women's success and the World Cup as well. So it's great that that's coming across. And then from a perspective of the players on the pitch, I think I tweeted the other day about this and generally got sort of fairly good response. I'm quite excited about the future of the club. And a big part of that, I think, is down to Freddie Ljungberg's appointment. And
you'd be excited if Freddie Ljungberg started working at Tesco's.
There is that. Local. I mean, you know, my son's named after Freddie Ljungberg. That's how much I love him. But he's a wonderful player. I loved him as a player. I love him as a personality, but he's more than that. He strikes me as a guy who's a really top level coach, and he's brought through these youngsters. And Jace touched on Robbie Burton coming into this preseason tour. I think
he's Welsh.
No, as in Shreds mentioned him. I think he was part of this party at the last minute, and Freddie sort of said to him, "Why don't you have a look at this kid?" And I don't think Unai Emery really, by his own admission, knew too much about him. And this is not a knock at Steve Bould, but I think Freddie's already done more in 3 or 4 weeks than Steve Bould was, not necessarily did, but was allowed to do under the old regime. And I think Freddie's brought these players on. And again, Jace mentioned him, Joe Willock. For me, this kid's got everything to succeed.
Let's not Gideon Zelalem him.
I was going to say exactly that. I was actually going to use the example of Wilshere or Fabregas, you know, in terms of, but he's got a similar stature. When Fabregas first came into the side as a youngster, he never hid. He wanted the ball. He commanded the ball. He would take the ball off of senior pros. You know, he had a presence about him. He'd try things. And the same with young Jack Wilshere. And the thing I loved about Willock's goal against, it was Fiorentina, wasn't it, that he scored when he went through on goal, as Lacazette's pass, wasn't it? The look away. If you watch the goal again, he turns his head and looks at the opposite corner and fires it into the far corner. I know Roberto Firmino's made that move famous, and it's a bit of a Ronaldo thing, it's a bit of a Messi thing. That takes bollocks to do that, because if you get that wrong as a young player on tour, you can very easily be Brendan Rodgers. And if you don't know what that means, look up Raheem Sterling, Brendan Rodgers on YouTube. You'll let me down, son. But you've got to have bollocks to try that. And he strikes me as a kid who's developed physically. He's got a good mentality. He was the best player on the pitch in the Europa League final in 20 minutes that he played, which speaks volumes about the rest of them. Sad times. And I think he's made really great strides. And the same with Saka, the same with... I think Reece Nelson, I'm genuinely not sure if he will still be here in the season or not. There's still a lot of talk that he might go on loan. I don't know. Callum Chambers has come back and looks to be refreshed. Rob Holding's way ahead of schedule, which we've got to be careful. We don't want to rush him back, but that can only be good news. And then some of the other lads, Jace mentioned Martinelli. You know, he's a young player a lot of people don't know a lot about. Really exciting. And that run sort of typified. He's not going to do that against Everton in the Premier League because he'll have his legs put inside his throat if he does that in the Premier League, that somebody will hack him up in the air. But it's nice to see a player try that and want to make an impression. And for too many seasons, we've had pre-seasons where players have gone through the motions and have not taken their chances. So it's good to see. And we've had a lot of negatives of late. You know, one of them being our captain at the moment in that situation. It's really good to see some positives. So, you know, it's we're kind of as ready as we can be. I know we'll come on to the signings a little bit later, but everything as a whole has been successful on that tour, I think.
It's been brilliant. And you were saying that we don't see them over here anymore. That's a price I'm willing to pay for people like Shredder and all that lot, and all of our friends, because we've got loads of friends in America, and for them to come and see the Arsenal. They did it a few years ago. They've done Australia. They've done... where else did they go? Did they go to Singapore?
Singapore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I mean, if it's going to get more fans and give them... And when they do go there, look at the amount of fans that showed up, like Shredder was saying. It's just amazing. It shows how much support there is for Arsenal all around the world. Have you looked at that message I just put in our chat group in here?
No, but I have looked at, speaking of support, J-Rob, thank you for the $5, my friend, or the five euros. Very kind of you. Says, today has been a nice day across the board. How are three wise men? Well, me and Shreds are fine. Danny, I'm
naked and hot.
Do you know what I mean? You can't have it all, J-Rob. You can't have it all. But thank you for the donation, my friend.
Thank you very much,
message J-Rob. In the chat. What did you put?
It is. It looks like, from what people are saying, that Ozil and Kolasinac are driving around in his black Mercedes ML.
Oh, yeah.
And then someone's hitting them from behind. And then as they've got out, someone's ran at them with a knife, and Kolasinac just got out and gone off at him and chased the bloke with a knife, and then they got in the car and drove off.
I mean, would you mess with Kolasinac? No, I'm not sure I would.
Don't bring a knife to a tank fight.
No. Hey. There you go. You need to tweet that immediately. but yeah, that's, I mean, brilliant. That's I'm just looking at it now. Oh, this is...
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
And that really is them, is it? Wow. Oh, wow.
It's Josh Page in the chat box put most defending I've seen Sayed do.
That's very good. That's very good.
Ramput Kolasinac learned how to defend.
Yeah.
really good.
I'll tell you what, though, jokes aside, that's quite scary, isn't it, really?
That's
London, I know, for it, you, apparently.
It happened to my side note. It happened to my mate Gaz, Danny, who you know. How he went to a WWE event in Brooklyn a couple of years ago, and he got jacked going across the Brooklyn Bridge. Got made to get out of his car. And they took all his money, wallet, lots of bits and bobs, and basically told him to... They locked him in the trunk of his own car. Trunk, look at me going all American. Put him in the boot, locked him in the boot, took all his possessions, and then took the car keys and left him in the car.
How long was he in the boot for?
I don't know, to be honest.
He's still there.
he's fine now. He's definitely here. He might listen to this, and he'll probably correct me, but it was definitely in Brooklyn. He definitely got jacked, and he got all his stuff nicked, and they said they locked him in his car. So,
no Wesley Snipes to come and save him?
No. Where's Welsh Justice when you need him? He'd have sorted him out. Was Jace in that car?
It's the best form of defence is to go crazy and just fucking go mental at them, and you might get murdered. We might get away with it.
You might.
Not something you should make light about, but that's what I do. Shredder, the Real Madrid game.
Yep.
What? Tell us about it.
Yeah, up in DC is a good time. A bunch of the Arsenal America fans sort of bust over from downtown DC because Landover, Maryland's about 25, 30 minutes outside of like the main part of Washington, D.C. So they all bust over. We had a nice little traditional American tailgate out in the parking lot with burgers and hot dogs and beer and everything. So that was good. And then the stadium is it's all right. But lucky enough that we had some really good seats. And the actual play on the pitch, I'll tell you, the first 15 to 20 minutes of it was just – absolutely blazing football. I mean,
what
it was.
What did you put that down to?
I think we put a tackle in, and they were sort of like, "Oh, okay, this is like a legit game." Because like I said, the first 20 minutes were just absolutely mental. The tempo of the match, it was completely the opposite of what happened in Charlotte. And, lucky enough to get that penalty pretty early on, with Laka scoring there off the handball. But it was also an interesting environment as well, because it was about 50-50 on the fan base. So there's about 50% of the stadium was Madrid fans. The other 50%, obviously, Arsenal fans. So there was a lot of little banter back and forth. I will say we are a good vocal crowd. We do as fans, though, need to organize our chanting across sections better. As one section to one side of me would be singing one song, the next section to the other side of me would be singing another song, and my section would be singing something completely different. So we just need to get a little more coordinated on that. That's all. We're still newbies to this, completely to the toward sort of the full chanting thing. But it was good. We were just in good spirits. You know, the fans are right up for it. The team looked right up for it as well. I think we really, obviously, once they went down to 10 men and we still had 11. I think we looked really good, but I also think we looked really good against them when they still had 11 early on in the match. So, that was one of the things sort of that I took away, was just, we seemed to be going toe to toe with them no matter where we were at. It was unfortunate to have Ainsley Maitland-Niles, be pulled from the last second from the starting lineup there, but we made it work. And, obviously you're watching Real Madrid. They're one of the largest teams in the world, and they're trying to put together this next set of, Galacticos. And a lot of them were out there, and all of our players held their own. I think, even Zidane had some high praise for Joe Willock after the match. So, but it was good. Unfortunately, though, one of our defenders makes a couple of rash challenges back-to-back, and also some of the poorest officiating I've ever seen in a match during that, with some late foots not being called and some very soft fouls being called in there as well. So, unfortunate for us to lose, but also really good to get our youngsters out against, late in the game, Madrid didn't put on youngsters. They still had Gareth Bale. They still had, I want to say Hazard had been brought out of the game, but they still, Luka Modric played a lot of the second half. So it was still a really, really potent lineup in the second half for Madrid. Obviously Asensio scored and then did his ACL. But, with 10 men, I think right before the halftime, that's probably a bigger boost, to an opposing team than it is your team scoring a goal. And I think it just gave them a little extra fight. And I think, we wanted to make sure that we blooded some youngsters, and we did. And they were playing against a really strong Madrid side, and hopefully understanding the level that they need to be at now, and that they need to put up maybe, they're all working hard. I don't want to say that they're not, but, I think it gives them an idea, maybe, the Burtons and the Olyinkas and the Zach Medleys and the Willocks, and of going, okay, it's nice that I'm getting some time here, but I want to be on the same level as these players, and I need to put some more work in. Cause I think some of the talent that we have, maybe not, Galactico talent, right? But it's really good. And I think it can do Arsenal a really good job throughout the year. So hopefully they can take those lessons learned from that match and pick their head up. And, I think the most worrying thing for Arsenal fans from this match is, we seem to have zero plan when we go down to 10 men, none at all, even against another team with 10 men. And I think that's one of the biggest areas of concern for me, just knowing that we do have some sort of card-happy center backs, and we don't have a lot of people to replace them at right now. So, but no, it was a proper match. Again, I lost my voice in about the third minute, 13th. I think it was the 13th minute, but still just enjoyed the hell out of that match. And, just as an unbiased, football fan, it's really great to see Arsenal and Madrid play together over here in the States. That's a huge deal. And so to love one of those teams like I do was even more special. So it was a great time. Fan festivities around DC were a little more spread out, but that's just sort of how DC is, unfortunately. So didn't do a ton other than the tailgate, but it was absolutely wonderful. And just sort of the camaraderie from all the groups, and meeting people from Boston, and met people from Colorado and DC, and people traveling from all over the country to come watch the Arsenal play, because they know, like that one girl, and maybe their first time, and they could have been supporting for years, and unfortunately never had the chance before this tour. So hopefully we continue to do that, you know, in the U.S. and in Asia, and we can continue to grow the brand and start hopefully getting in some of that, you know, Madrid and Man United marketing money, which allows them to spend so much more, and maybe we can continue to build the brand now and you know, start laying the foundations worldwide, like I think we have been, but continue to lay those foundations so that we can continue to have the funds that we all want and need, because it seems pretty obvious the current ownership's not going to maybe directly invest, but at the same time, I think they're trying to lay the foundations that our marketing department, you know, in the years to come, next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, can start to compete with some of the bigger boys.
Yeah, that's really good. What was I going to say? I had a really good question. Oh, has anybody noticed that it was you in the back of an AFTV video with Chris Lodato wearing a pirate shirt?
I don't know if anybody has seen that, but we were at the Lincoln Memorial when old Robbie and troops were recording some content for the AFTV.
They were sat on the steps, so if people see it. They were sat on the monument in the background. Yeah.
You'll see a nice yellow Nike kit walk behind them at some point. So that was me and Mr. Lodato doing some sightseeing out there but before the match on Monday.
Okay, jolly good. Chris, how much of the game did you see?
Live, none. I'm not gonna lie. I was zedding away by then, but I saw the highlights. And it's difficult because you can't judge too much on preseason. He says as he goes into preseason with my own team. But yeah, I mean, it is difficult to judge. You take the positives, you learn from the negatives. I mean, the sending off for Socrates was a joke.
Was that worth a double yellow?
They're
Monreal.
Nacho Fernandez, wasn't it? Yeah. Sent off.
Oh, Nacho. I knew they had one part from that.
Yeah. Again, not sure. Really,
that one seemed. I was in that end when he got sent off, and in sort of real time. Yeah, it seemed seemed like a really harsh tackle for a friend.
Yeah, I think given the fact the VAR thing coming in, I'm not sure it would be in a competitive game. But the Socrates one was, I mean, the first foul, you could probably make an argument for a booking. He stops an attack, but the second one was just, he was just stronger, like nothing more, just shoulder to shoulder, nothing in that. But that aside, Laka's penalty was delicious. Enjoyed that. The pass for Aubameyang was, you won't get that anywhere else, I don't think, in Europe. Those two know each other inside out, and they know where each other are going to run. This is why, you know, people saying, oh, maybe we should cash in. No. Because you will not find that anywhere else. And I think what's quite interesting as well is we do appear to be using Aubameyang from the right in preseason a lot, which is something that quite excites me, because the player seems to be embracing it. And I like that, because my concern was when we signed them both is that they are both centre forwards. That's what they've been converted in. Now, Elba in France was a bit more of a wide player until he got the run through the middle for Dortmund and then progressed his game, never looked back. But he can play wide. And there's a misconception. People seem to think that if you play wide in a 4-2-3-1 that you don't come central. You do. You know, if you're one of the wide two and a three behind the forward, your job is to get in behind as well and to get central and support the attackers. Your job is also to get back and defend. And Alba doesn't have any issues with doing that. He was all over the pitch in the first game against a team. I skipped my memory, but he was absolutely outstanding in that first game of the preseason. And he's been at it all preseason.
Bayern? Colorado.
Was that Bayern or Colorado?
Yeah. Bayern. No, I think it's Bayern. Actually,
it was Bayern. Yeah. Bayern. I don't think he traveled for the Colorado one.
And I mean, you know, he looks at it. He looks ready. And the one thing that people are going into the season saying, oh, you know, our defence is this and our defence is that. And I don't get it wrong, I share those same concerns. But what that Madrid game showed me is that against anybody, any time, any game, we can score goals. And we will score goals. It's how many we ship. And it might actually be quite an entertaining season this year, because I think we're going to ship quite a lot. And I think we're probably going to score quite a lot. And given the fact we're still in the market for offensive players. But the Madrid game was, as I say, it was an interesting one. I think you have to say Madrid are very rusty. They haven't done a lot of preseason work themselves. I think it's only their second game.
They got smashed by Bayern in the first one.
They did. Yeah. They're still blooding new players. I think Ferland Mendy is one of the best left backs in the world, was playing centre half for a long period of time.
Yeah, maybe they took it for granted. And then at half time they went, oh fuck, we're 2-0 down. Let's bring on some other bigger name players. But they did start the game with Modric and Kroos and Benzema and Hazard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was nice of them to allow the professional golfer from Wales a game. That was nice as well. Good to see him get a run.
I was legitimately shocked when they announced his name. Yeah. I was like, how has he traveled? Is he literally like Zidane just folds him up into a carry-on piece of luggage and leaves him under the bus at night? Is that what's going on?
It was his trial for his move to Dallas or whoever picks him up.
You see DC United tonight got smashed 8-1 at home by Marseille.
Did they really?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, well, I know DC are playing my Chicago Fire on Sunday, so I'm sure they'll be just fine for that game. I was impressed. I mean, as I said, the Laka and Aubameyang link up looks great. I actually thought Corporal was pretty decent, and I genuinely think if there was
against
an apocalypse,
Madrid. He was one of our best players on the pitch in the first half.
He was. And I think if there was a nuclear apocalypse now, cockroaches would be looking up to Carl Jenkins and going, how the fuck are you still here? Like,
king of the cockroaches.
I mean, that, you know, the guy is pure banter. But you know what? I love it. You know,
and if
he stays for the rest of his career and only plays four more games, I think he'd be happy with that. I don't think he'd give a monkey's. He looks like a guy. He genuinely does look like a fan who's just living the dream. But he's a bit more than that. You know, I'm not saying
he's stuck in, which I sort of shot. He killed someone. It's brilliant.
And you can only do so much. I mean, you look at Everton signed Fabian Delph this summer. Fabian Delph is not a world-class talent, but do you know what? He's got into Pep Guardiola's Manchester City side for 3 years. You know, these players are not mugs. If they're Premier League players, then they are of a standard. And sometimes you can find a player like Jenkinson who, let's be honest, arrived as very average at best. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the right coaching, you know, a Freddie, a Steve Bould, and Unai Emery can get the best out of players. And what you have to look at the moment is we've got one fit right back who's a right winger in our squad, in Ainsley Maitland-Niles. A central midfielder in Ainsley Maitland-Niles. We haven't got any of the right backs, you know, so somebody needs to step up potentially. And I'm not saying Carl Jenkinson can play against Liverpool, Man City, you know, Chelsea, well, maybe Chelsea, but I'm not saying he should be a starter every week. But if you're trying to nurse Hector back to health and you've got, you know, potentially a home game against one of the lesser sides, I wouldn't be against trying it. You know, what have you got to lose?
I saw more talent from Jenkinson in the first half against Madrid than I saw from Lechsteiner all of last season.
There you go.
And we all sort of praised this. Oh, that's a really smart, intelligent, you know, even if he doesn't play all the time, he can at least keep the locker room. And he just never seemed – I don't think, one, he really fit in that well with the locker room. And two, I think that affected some of his performances on the field. But you got a guy that everybody seems to like Jenkinson, and you've got him now in this environment and under Emery for a while now. And I think maybe he's starting to thrive a little bit, and good for him. And let's hope that he continues it. And maybe he can be the man. Maybe he can be the right back cover that we need and step his game up until we get a more long term replacement.
And again, like we've both just said that, Jace, at the end of the day, if he is essentially a fan representing the club, he's not going to care. He's getting paid big money to be in the squad of the club he supports and loves. You know, and I'm not being funny. You know, you look at that lot down the road. They've given Llorente a new contract. Why? Because they can't sign somebody who's willing to come in to be Harry Kane's backup. So sometimes you just got to cut your losses and say, do you know what? This guy is of a decent level. He'll do a job. I can hear Jace chuckling when I say that already.
I mean, the problem with being Harry Kane's backup is the drool cleanup.
Well, absolutely. And nobody wants that job, you know.
No, nobody.
Let's go! But
what was that?
That was Harry Kane on Instagram last year. Come on, Danny, get with the times. Jesus. But yeah, I think overall, as I said before, it's a positive tour, and the Madrid game was a nice way to sum it up. It was a shame we lost on pens. I mean, nobody, let's be honest, nobody gives a fuck. But it was a shame that young Burton missed the key spot kick. One other player, actually, I just want to highlight as well, I thought was decent, is Emi Martinez this preseason. I think he's clearly going to be the backup to Leno this year.
I don't think he was saying maybe Leno should be worried about his starting position for the start of the season. You fucking idiot.
I think that's a bit rich. I think Leno clearly is the number one. But again, football's football. Leno could get smashed up in the air by Joe Linton in the first game against Newcastle and be out for the season. You need a quality player as backup. And Martinez knows the club. He knows the coaches there. He knows the setup. He knows the philosophy. He has had a couple of good loans. And I'd rather bring through Emmy, who's young, enthusiastic, energetic. It reminds me of Chesney in his build as well. He's a very similar keeper. I'd rather that than bring in a Guy Vomoots type of goalkeeper who's 40 and Mark Poom, you know. Nothing against those guys, but we brought Petr Cech in when he was probably past his best, and then we struggled to get him off the wage book for 3 years, you know. And I'm not saying he didn't give us a lot, because he did. I genuinely think he gave us a lot of experience. But sometimes if you're looking to work with young players, start with the players you've got, and bringing back Emi for me is, you know, is a good decision. And if he stays this season and then wants to play first team football, fine, you let him move on with good grace. But I think he'll get the Europa League games. He's clearly come back with not a point to prove, but his pre-season has suggested that he's up for the fight with Leno, and they clearly get on as well. So yeah, I think that's a good solid backup in goal. And it saves us having to go and buy yet another player for this already sort of fragile squad that we've got in place. So, good way to sum up the tour, and nice to see these new kits as well. That's always nice. So, yeah, overall a good experience, I think.
Shall you and me pretend we know all about this big willy, and then just sit there while Chris squirms and we're going, oh, I remember that game you played against Leighton Orient back in League Two. Or should we just let Chris talk about it? Because have you got anything to say on the two new signings, Shredder?
They're two signings that, you know, I'm excited about them. Obviously, we're not going to get Big Willie until next season. He's just back at Saint-Étienne for this year to continue to develop, which is good. I really don't rate him, though, because his FIFA rating is only 56. So,
no face.
You know, yeah. It's just, I've never seen him play a match, never seen him play a few minutes. You know, there are some people online who do watch a lot of the French league, including somebody who we're sitting on this podcast with.
Really? Who he's never mentioned it.
Yeah.
I try and keep a low profile.
I was talking about you, Danny. I was talking about you. You watch a lot of the French league, right?
No, I watch.
He watches French porn. French porn means very different things between Chris and Danny. So having to figure out which one it is. I've honestly not seen him play. I hope he can live up to some of the hype. I don't want to overhype him. But again, he's a nice young defender. Seems to have sort of the everything you want physically. Nice big kid, and hopefully he can come in next year after another season under his belt and in the Farmer League, and he can come into the big leagues and perform. So, that's all I'll say on Willie here.
And my thoughts on it, good, Chris.
Thank you.
I'm not going to pretend I know anything. There's no point. I don't.
Well, I mean, in fairness, you know, he's not a player that a lot of people know a lot about. I think I have noticed. I have cast my eye across the Twitter this afternoon, and I noticed there's a lot of experts coming out the woodwork and saying they've tracked his progress since he was a sperm in the womb and all that, which always makes me chuckle. He is a player that has been on radars of French football fans for a while, and he's been on the radar of some very big clubs for a while. I think I've seen some people who've sort of said this is what's the point of this signing? Because they're all saying, well, you know, we brought him in now, we're loaning him back. What's the point? You know, Mustafi's shit. We've lost Koscielny. Why are we buying somebody, giving him back? It's very simple why we've done the deal this way. Money. That's all it is. You know, essentially,
we agreed to that.
We wouldn't have got him. I'm led to believe from people who are well or better sourced than I, we tried everything we could to get him this summer, to get him in this summer and get him signed this summer. Saint-Étienne said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. Not a problem. It'll cost you another 20 million. And you know, it doesn't make the old Arsenal might have done that potentially, or the old Arsenal would have walked away and gone, no. We will sign Fabian Delph, you know, like the old Arsenal would have gone for the second best option. And Unai Emery has been very keen to point out this week. He wants to sign the players he's identified. Saliba was one of the first identified in January. It was the first move that they made to get him in. St Etienne quite rightly said, look, this guy has just broken into our first team. We're not ready to sell at this point. St Etienne have had one of their best seasons for a while. This past season, they qualified for the Europa League and have been one of the top five or six teams in France this year, whereas they have had a few down seasons. So why would they sell one of their top players in January? But they are a club that will sell for the right price, and the deal suits them perfectly. And in a way, it kind of suits us as well, because he can go back to France knowing he's an Arsenal player. The pressure is off. He can perform. You know, I do think he'll perform at a good level. He's at a club that nurtures young talent really well. And he'll get game time. And I'm not saying he wouldn't get game time at Arsenal, but there's two young centre-halves we've already got in Holding and Chambers who arguably should be getting game time right now. And if anything, this puts pressure on them to perform now if Unai Emery keeps both. And he says, right, this is your season. If you don't step up this season, I think Emery likes. I think he'll be there long term. But Chambers in particular, and maybe even Mustafi, dread to think, or Sokratis, who's getting on. Saliba is a perfect replacement for next summer. In terms of what we're getting in the player, he's the next Maldini. That's obvious. His FIFA card's terrible. Clearly makes him shit. He's an elegant ball-playing centre-half who reads the game really well. He's quick across the ground. He's not what you'd call, like, he's not a sprinter, but he's languid. He's 6'3", which, you know, it's nice to have a defender with a bit of height. Doesn't mind the physicality of the game, but is capable. The thing I like about him as well is he's not, sorry, close your ears, Mustafi fans. He's not a player that goes to ground easily. He tends to stand players up.
That's how you do it, though.
Exactly, yeah. He's not a highlight reel defender in terms of how he tackles. There has been comparisons made with Raphael Varane, which I think is a little bit over the top at this stage. Varane was a step apart. I would liken him more to the style that Clement Longley had, who's now gone to Barcelona, who played in the French league for Nancy for two seasons. He's Clement Longley, who played for Sevilla.
That was what the French called custard.
Oh God. This is what I get to work with, boys and girls.
It's Big Willie 18.
He is indeed, yes.
Bloody hell, so, I'm just looking here. He played 16 League One games, 2 FA Cup games, 1 League Cup game. So in those 19 club games, he has done enough to be worth that much money already. Is that unprecedented?
It's not unprecedented. There's another lad who signed for Barcelona called Jean-Claude Todibo, who's another one. Essentially, what's happened is, who'd have thought the French League provides a lot of the young talent throughout the big leagues of Europe. Insert feeder league comment here. Clubs have got wise to this, and they're paying big money for players that are that young. There will be a player that will sign for a club at 15 years of age for 20 million soon. It's going to happen. You know, we're talking about a player like Wilfried Zaha going for 60 million. I mean,
didn't that happen back in the, some kid did an advert back in the early 90s. Was it?
Oh, you're talking about the, Or Freddie Adu was the other one, wasn't he? Prodigy, yeah.
He's still only 21.
But it works two ways. You can do what we've done with Saliba, who, you know, we all hope it works out. He could end up as David Grondan. You never know. You know, Martin Odegaard is a prime example at Madrid. Look what happened to him. You're always taking a gamble. But for me, we've researched this enough. We've tracked the player for long enough. Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, PSG, I believe Man United were sniffing. Spurs clearly were trying, but Spurs. Mm-hmm. The kid's got class. He signed for the right club. But big clubs were sniffing around him, and Spurs. So that, to me, says that this isn't really a gamble, because you're getting a player who's got massive resale value, which we never do. And you're potentially getting a player who could be a centre-half for Arsenal for 10, 15 years. But all I would say is, let's not go too far overboard yet. Let's see what sort of season he has in Liga. And if he makes a few mistakes in Liga, don't worry about it. He will. He's 18. And I like the fact that he's willing to pass from the back and create attacks from the back. And that's not a defender we've had for a long time. And if Lolo is leaving the club, which it seems like he will, I don't think we have another particularly good passer of the ball in central defence other than the aforementioned Rob Holding. So it's exciting, and don't be put off by the fact that he's going back on loan, because I think that's a positive. And Lundberg Camp in the chat has just made a point, well, if he breaks his leg, I don't think even Arsenal could fuck up a deal so much that they didn't have a clause in his contract that states we wouldn't pay the full money if he did that. Even us, we wouldn't cock that up, surely.
How long do you think it would be? You remember when Liverpool bought Origi and then loaned him back for the season, and people were going, oh, they've got to pay $500,000 to get him back early. How long before Arsenal fans, impatient Arsenal fans, start going, oh, can't we get him back on loan, up on the loan, and oh, it's going to cost us $10 million.
After the Newcastle game.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's the season when we've lost 3-0 in Newcastle. They'll be like, why have we not? Or either that or January the 1st, straight away. Even though, and what you'll get is you'll get fans who've not even watched him in Ligue 1 this season, not even watched the St. Etienne game, going, no, he's brilliant. Get him back now. They'll be like, what? Really?
So, well, remember the last player we recalled from loan?
Was that Big Frankie?
That was Big Frankie, yeah.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah, and he didn't do too bad, did he, coming back from Charlton? But yeah, it's positive. I can't remember the last time we announced two players in one day.
They made sure that they did it on the same day as the fan forum.
Oh,
in New York City, so that they could, hey, look at what we've done. That's I have a feeling these were done and dusted last weekend.
Well, Saliba's been pretty much done for a week. They got the agreement from the player a week ago, and they just had to announce it. But this is the other thing. The Kieran Tierney deal is done with the player, but we're doing what we do. You know, we're hardballing Celtic over Champions League football because we're not willing to pay so much up front. And Celtic are saying, well, that's all well and good. You saying that you'll pay us 70 million, you get into the Champions League, you'll give us another 7 million. Well, you're Arsenal, and you didn't really do that whole Champions League thing very well last year. So, and to be fair to Celtic, they got every right to ask that. But Tierney as a player has a verbal agreement with Arsenal. Ask anybody, not just, you don't have to take my word from it. Ask anybody who's higher up in the Arsenal connected universe, if you will, who isn't called Ornstein. Because he won't give his sources away. But yeah, anybody who knows their stuff will tell you that deal is done in terms of Arsenal and Tierney. And I think the same can be said for Saliba. It's been done for a while. And I think the Tottenham stuff was all just a little bit of a... What that was for me was shithousery on their part, because they thought we can steal a player from under their nose. But he wanted to sign for Arsenal from the minute we essentially approached him in January, but we had to do the deal the right way. So... You know, but we've got two players in, and you know, Danny Ceballos is another one we can probably talk about. I don't know if either of you two have seen a lot of him, but
I saw Tom talking about him.
He's a really good footballer. He's a really, really good footballer. And you know, Tom is a great person to speak to about it. If you know Tom, another person I'd highly recommend speaking to is Joel Melwar, who, if you don't know, look him up on Twitter. He's a good friend of mine, frantically chat, but he follows Spanish football religiously. He's a big Barcelona fan. Ceballos is a really, really good player, really exciting player. He's definitely the best number eight we've ever had, even in Jace. But yeah, he's... All jokes aside, he really excites me. And I know some people are saying, oh, well, he's only using us as a stepping stone to go back to Madrid. Who cares? I don't give a fuck. If he has a brilliant season and we get in the Champions League and then he goes, thank you very much, guys, I'm going to go back to Madrid, he goes with my bloody blessing. And people forget as well, if he comes to Arsenal and he enjoys it, you know, it's a little bit like taking a trial job or going for an interview. You know, you might go for that interview thinking, I love this, you know, I'd love this job, I want to be here for life. Or you go to an interview thinking, do you know what? It's a job, gets me back in the market, see how I go. And then within 6 months, you love the job, you love the people, and you think, actually, I quite like it here. You know,
is that the club already?
Yeah, well, Hector Bellerin played a big part in getting him in, from what I could gather, like his quotes.
In Paris.
Yeah, with a big brown envelope. But no, he's a really good player. And this dates back to when he was at Real Betis, was when I first watched a bit of him. Granted, I'll, you know, hold my hands up, not half as much as if he was in France. But he's a really cultured player and a really clever footballer. And he will... I'm not going to say he'll do what Aaron Ramsey did, because he's going to take time to adjust. But he'll do more than Denis Suarez did. I'm pretty confident about that. which is not hard. And
I've done more this preseason than the Dennis Suarez has done.
Danny's left nipple has done more than that.
Did you see that they were going, oh, Suarez is a great player. He ended up going to Real Betis, who finished one place above the relegation zone in La Liga last season.
Betis of Zaragoza, wasn't it? It wasn't Betis. Sure was it? Betis are in the Europa League. They were quite high up. Oh, I could be wrong, but I thought it was Zaragoza. But I agree, he's gone to a lower side, hasn't he?
They definitely finished 2019. They finished 17th in La Liga, whoever they were.
Yeah, definitely won Betis.
Go to some of the questions. We've been going for 45 minutes. Matthew Hudson says, are you guys excited?
Celta Vigo, Shredder. There you go.
Oh, Celta Vigo, of course.
Thank you, Bargy. Sorry, Shred.
Are you excited, Shredder, for the season?
Yeah, I am. I know people are. I tweeted this a couple weeks ago. I am. It's another year. I think the players that we have the talent within them to get into the top four, which is what we need to get bigger and better players in to get us to the Premier League title. We just have to play consistently. And I think my hope is that we'll see a little less tinkering from Emery this year. I think he'll understand the league a little bit better and how to set up his teams for whoever we're playing. So I think we'll probably see a little less tinkering, a little more solidity in the formation and in the starting lineup. Hopefully we can just get our players, one, keep them healthy, and two, get everybody sort of clicking on the same page at the right times, which I think has been our downfall over the last few years. So, I'm very excited about it and have really missed Arsenal from the minute that Europa League final whistle blew. I was like, all right, I was ready to go again, honestly, just ready to get back on it. So really glad that it's just a little ways around the corner, and hopefully we can maybe get one or two more players in to bolster our depth and our strength.
Good answer. Chris, in two words or less, because you're the one who's in a hurry.
No, I'll be brief on this. Yeah, absolutely. Everything Trent said.
You're always excited for the start of the season.
Optimistic. No, Danny, I've got a 4-inch penis and I pretend it's 6. no, I'm lying. It's 2. But yeah, I mean, that's how you've got to go through life. You know, I'm a miserable shit. But when it comes to the football team that I love and support, you got to get behind them. You know, why? Do you try being a Newcastle fan right now, you know, or try being a team that's gone out of business. You know, we're still clearly a massive club. You know, yeah, we have been on the slide. We can't deny that. But I hear people saying that Spurs have overtaken us, all this shit. Oh, come on. Look at other clubs around us. You know, Chelsea are a potential basket case. Solskjaer will be gone by October, probably. Spurs will never sustain it because we've heard all this bollocks before and we all know the wheels will come falling off within a season. So that'll be done. I'm not saying we're title contenders. We're not, realistic. Let's be completely honest. But there's no reason why, with a hungry young group of players, with a hopefully one or two more to come in potentially, but even with what we've got, get behind them. Yes, even Mustafi, you know.
Yeah.
I hope we get the Koscielny thing sorted out because I think that's a bit of a black cloud hanging over that needs to be dealt with one way or the other.
Move on to the next. What's your thought on Koscielny? What do you know anything? Is he going to? Is he off to Bordeaux or Rennes?
I won't say too much because I don't want people to go, oh, just because he's bench, which they will anyway. All I'm going to say is the things I've heard from people I trust is there's a lot more to this than just Koscielny's side. The club have gone into defensive mode and they've made a stand to stop this from happening with other players. But the stand they've made, it basically goes against everything they promised Laurent Koscielny last season.
Nobody in football. We all know that. And I get the feeling that they kind of convinced Koscielny, just give us the end of the season. If you can come back and be a player for us, and then you've got a 1-year extension on your contract, but we'll let you go back to France.
That's exactly what happened. He was given a new contract with the idea that he would stay. Essentially, he was given a new contract with the premise that if he could refind his fitness and return to the elite level, because they weren't convinced, ask Dom about what that injury does to a player. They weren't convinced he'd get back to the highest level. The player wasn't convinced he'd get to the highest level. And the agreement was, if he got, again, this is what I understand, I I don't live with the guy, but the agreement he had with the club was, give us one more season. We'll give you a new deal to protect your value because you're getting older. And if you get to the end of the season and you can't give us, you know, basically your body can't give us what we need, then we will grant you the move back to France if the right offer comes in. And where that's broken down is that we clearly can't sell Mustafi for love nor money. We clearly haven't got other options to buy central defenders. We obviously had already invested in the Saliba deal when we knew we couldn't have him this season. And we've gone back on our word. That's my understanding. If I'm wrong, you know, then so are the people I've spoken to about it. But I personally think Koscielny's got a bit of a raw deal out of this. I don't agree with him not going on the tour. That was wrong. It was unprofessional. And I think it lacks a bit of class from him personally. But that guy literally put his body on the line to get this club anywhere near a Europa League final last year, anywhere near the top four last year. Without him, we could have finished eighth or ninth last year. So I think people have been a little bit quick in jumping at him and saying he's a disgrace. He hasn't acted well. He hasn't been advised well, but the club haven't exactly held their end of the bargain either. So that's all I'll say. I'll shut up now.
Thanks for doing all that.
Just because he's French.
You're welcome. There you go.
Shredder, what's your thoughts on Kieran Tierney? Orpheus Jones says, does Chris know anything about it? We're not asking Chris. We ain't got an hour. Yeah. And Brandon Jason Grosso says, think we're getting for 25 million. What's your thoughts
I have no clue. My feeling is the longer that it goes, the less likely we are to get him. Because it seems like, you know, Celtic have continued to sort of move the goalposts a bit. And that's just my uneducated opinion. Is like, well, all right, we'll do it for, you know, we gave like a bit of what, like it was 18 or 19. And they're like, nope, like 25. And they're like, okay, well, here's 25, but we want to do it in this. No, we have to have all 20 plus all this, plus all this. So it seems like it's every time we go with an offer that they say this is what it will take, they add something else to it. So, yeah, I don't know. I've also not seen him play too much because I really don't watch that much football outside of the Arsenal. But a lot of people say he's pretty good. Some people say he's a little, injury prone. But I think, you know, it would probably be an upgrade on what we have currently in the position, especially defensively. So hopefully we get it done.
Chris, yes or no?
Yeah, he's a good player, very good player. The injuries is a worry, but him and Hector on either side would be good. Yeah,
getting an injury like that young, as long as you get over it, you'll probably be fine.
Yeah, I agree with Jace as well. The longer it goes, the more I start to think he's not a sort of player. He's a Celtic fan, so it's not like he's going to push for a move. Yeah. So I think, yeah, we're either going to have to pay up or move on, I think. And they have to make that decision pretty quick.
Okay, Lung Bergkamp says, are we linked to any centre-backs? And Karen Russell says, do you think we may sign a centre-back even if on loan due to Saliba coming back next season? And Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I do. I don't want to be harsh on Mustafi, but my biggest worry with Mustafi right now is he's playing like a player who knows he'll play. And what I mean by that is he's playing like a guy who knows we haven't got much money. Yeah, he knows we haven't got much money. He knows that nobody wants to buy him, and he's fairly comfortable. And if we were going into the season with Koscielny and all that hadn't happened, I'd have said, you know what? Keep Mustafi. We'll go with what we've got. The idea of going into the season with, you know, a half-fit Rob Holding, a returning Callum Chambers, who had the best season of his career in midfield, and Sokratis, the wrong side of 30, and you know, and Mustafi is a bit worrying. I don't know who survives longest, El Nene or Mustafi. It's open to debate. But
read that. Oh, go on.
No, I was just gonna say I think a loan deal for a centre half. Do you remember when we bought Davor Suka late in the window, like an older, experienced pro for half a season, that type of deal? Yeah, I think that'll probably be what we might end up doing. It'll probably be like Gary Cahill again.
Yeah, right, Shredder. Thoughts on a captain? I've got many windows open here, and I'm trying not to scroll down. Who has put it? Archie, Hector deserves to be captain. Now, my thoughts on the captain, who should have it? I thought, oh, maybe give it to Leno. So I've just been had a look, and in his last season that I've got up at Leno at Leverkusen, he was vice-captain. that's my choice for captain, because then he's going to be at the club for years. What's your thoughts on the captainship-hood?
In terms of just like, I think presence and leadership, I think you probably got to look at Granit Xhaka. I don't know how much, you know, with Guendouzi and Torreira also in the midfield, I don't know how much, you know, Xhaka is going to, I think he's going to be an important player, but I don't know if he's going to be on the pitch every single match. We obviously know probably he'll pick up some yellow cards and get some suspensions along the way as well. I think this whole sort of captain by committee is what Emery likes, and whoever that committee is, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if it did have Hector in it. I don't necessarily see the direct sort of on-field leadership to see from the captain in Hector. I'll tell you who I also would like, who I think is a little bit of sort of a low-key candidate for, would be Lacazette. I think you just look at the work that he does on the pitch and the attitude that he has with it. Those maybe not like, you know, do as I say type of things, but he's a do as I do kind of guy. Mm. That'd be somebody as well who I could see putting the armband on and getting the boys behind him. So, I think Xhaka's been mentioned. Ozil's been mentioned. I think they wanted to have like an English player, so probably like Holding in there as well. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I think we're a club that we're a little lacking in that one person. So I think that's probably why Emery's doing the captaincy by committee.
Looking at Wikipedia at the moment, captain is Laurent Koscielny, vice captain is Ozil and Granit Xhaka. Chris, owning a football club like you do, what's your thought, and being the manager, what's your thoughts on what a player, what you want from a captain, and what you would expect Emery to pick as a captain? Or is he going to go for the five captains where everyone's a captain again?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan of the five captains thing. I think you name two with a third dressing room captain. That's how I do it at my level. I appreciate that's not professional level, but what you look for in a captain is not always somebody who's just going to shout lots, because modern day footballers, you know, you can talk a lot, but you can also talk a lot of nonsense. Like, you have to be talking for the right reasons. My concern with Xhaka as a captain is that I don't particularly think he should be in the first team, let alone as a captain. If we can upgrade him, if we can't, then fine. He's probably one of the better midfielders we have, but I think a captain should be with an eye to the future. If you look at the likes of sort of De Ligt, at his age was captain of Ajax, that the captains nowadays are getting younger, and they're becoming bigger personalities that not so much bleed the club, but understand the club and understand the culture of the club. I would personally love to see Hector Bellerin or Rob Holding given a chance, whether that be as a second captain or a vice, if you will. I think right now, with the squad where it is, I think you have to name an experienced player. I'm surprised Socrates isn't in the mix of that as a defender who's probably going to play most games. I think even Leno might be an option long run, but I'm not a huge fan of rotational captains, because I just don't think it sets the right agenda. And there's too many cooks. You know, you basically say to five players, you've all got a say. You know, how does he manage his WhatsApp group? You know? Like, how he's got five captains there, they've all got an opinion. I would very much stick to two clear captains, a captain and a vice captain, and then an additional player, you know, who can come in if they're injured. But I would go for youth now. Project youth, get some young lads in, give somebody extra responsibility and see how they react to it. And it might just be the making of them.
As you've seen, I've been going on about reading George Bird stuff, and it's really hard to see Arsenal youth games on a stream or anything, but I've seen a few, and I've been going on about for the last 3 years some of the players we've got coming through. And I think this tour, the last time we did a tour of America, we had one, Zelalem, and then that died on its ass. This time we have seen so many brilliant young players, and Willock for me has been outstanding. Eddie Nketiah said he needed a loan, and possibly don't, but it does look like Arsenal going down the route of grow your own. Then we don't have to pay £100 million for someone we've never heard of, which would be really good. Right, question for Shredder from our mate Richard, Cactus Jack 81 says, Caballos taking off the Madrid shirt, then putting on a Spurs shirt, then taking Chalabos.
Ceballos.
Ceballos.
Go all Spanish on us.
those three all took off the Madrid shirt, put on a Spurs shirt, and then took that off and put on an Arsenal shirt. What kind of unveiling do you think that was? People are saying it's brilliant. I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I did see it. I didn't realize it was a Tottenham shirt that he put on and then took it off. That's pretty funny. I'll tell you about this about Ceballos. He doesn't shy away from speaking what he thinks. That's for sure. I know that there's been some deleted tweets and things said in the past, but man, what a brain on that guy. That's all I'll say. But no, the unveiling was good. It was very nice. I was more impressed by his marketing team than I was our marketing team, to be honest with you.
Our mate James from Boston and New York, he says, Arsenal have released, a spokesman has said, we have been in contact with both players and they are fine, which is good. Apparently, I've not scrolled down through your things. I've been cutting and pasting the questions. My brother is in there, Michael. So if you're still watching, Michael, I'm mum's favourite, up your bum.
Not with those tits, you aren't.
Oi, six pack, how dare you. So have we got any other questions coming in here? We have got one more, which is from... formerly knows her. She says, Chris, can we sign Chris's cat as well?
He's definitely available for a free transfer after puking on my carpet earlier on. So, yeah, if the price is right, you can have him. But you will also have to pick up his vet bills because he's on heart tablets. So you'll have to dig deep. And as for the other one, I don't know where Bobby is. I think that you'll appreciate this, Danny. Cat talk. Yeah. It's too hot for the poor buggers at the moment. They don't know what to do with themselves. Bless them.
Chuck them in the river. £1 each. Go and get new ones.
Yeah. If the PDSA are listening, please turn off now. No, my cats are very much part of me, but I'll sell if the price is right.
Oh, Loki has a bit of inside information on Tierney. He says, we offered $5 million up front for Tierney with the rest in Asda discount vouchers for Iron Brew and Buckfast over a 10-year period.
I heard it was Special Brew, and maybe that's the kicker to the deal.
Well, there you go. Those two
go big or go home.
They are quite easily mixed up. Right, we have been going for 1 hour and 5 minutes. I think I've gone through, because when you scroll through your questions, it goes down, 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 jumps 20, and then I have to go back up again. But I think we covered most of it. And we were aiming for about an hour, give or take 5 minutes. I think we have done it. Anything you'd like to say, Shredder, before we go?
No, just thanks, everybody, for watching and support the team instead of just your first thought to slag them off. Like, let's just get behind them, right?
At least give it to the second game of the season.
We're gonna have the players we have, so let's just try to get behind them and hope that they can continue to work and improve. Let's just be. There's no reason to be negative at all.
Are you bringing logic to a knife fight?
Yeah,
don't
I am.
Do it.
I am. I'm the Sam Kolasinac of logic over here. Excellent. While Jason Davies is rolling up on a motorcycle with a helmet and a jumpsuit on.
So can the listeners look forward to seeing more Shredder next season now that you've got decent internet?
Yeah. Much more me. I'm also much farther from my local pub. So I'll be doing more games at the house. So you'll just see me drunk in my room here. And then also hoping to make a visit at the Emirates at some point after January of 2020. So that's the hope as well.
Talking about going to the Emirates, I've applied. I've been emailing the people at the Dribbly section at Arsenal, and I've just got to fill out the forms. And it looks like I'm going to be applying for Burnley. Oh, Spurs, and what's the other one? One of the first few home games. I can't remember what the other one is. Maybe it's Aston Villa or something, or something like that. Anyway, so the first, I think, three out of the first four games I can go to because Sean hasn't gone back to uni yet. So I'm hopefully going to be coming to those. So if you see me, don't touch me. Chris, anything you'd like to say?
Are you going to be wearing clothes?
It depends how hot it is.
I hope so. Nobody needs to see that.
Anything to say, Chris, before we go?
Mustafi to the moon is the first thing to say.
Is that how much you love him? To the moon and back?
To the moon and back. God bless him. No, I mean, I just echo what Shreds has said there. You know, yes, you can sit there and be miserable as sin and moan about everything. I mean, you know, it's what us Arsenal fans do best, let's be honest. But, you know, just get behind the guys. And if you set your expectations a little bit lower, you know, you might be pleasantly surprised. And if not, then you can just sit there and say, nah, it is what it is. And, you know, any sort of fan with an ounce of, I don't want to say an ounce of brain, I don't want to be patronising, but
it's not stopped you before for the last five years.
I'm trying to turn over a new leaf and be a nicer man.
Too late.
But But generally, if you go into the season thinking we're the Arsenal, we're this, we're that, we should be Champions League winner, then sorry, you're probably going to be sat in May going, well, that was shit. In fact, you're probably going to be sat in January going, well, that was shit. So just lower your expectations. It is what it is. Go with the ride, and just get behind the guys and remember the win. What is the window open until the start of the season? So at least we'll know
8th of August.
Yep. So we'll know what squad we've got straight away, so we don't have to worry about, you know, if we cock up the first game against Newcastle, there'll be none of this bollocks of, oh, we need to go and sign four players on deadline day. The squad we have will be the squad we have. We'll know exactly who we're getting behind, and let's do that. Let's get behind the squad and just see where we end up. We might surprise a few people, you know, we might not, but doom and gloom is it's fine. And if all else fails, we got some nice kits, so that's what's very important nice in kits. Life, isn't it? Yeah,
right,
although it should be red socks, not white. I'm standing by that. Mm. No, there's no mumble about it.
Bit of cat information here from Marquise Hodges. Cats are very high temperature tolerance. My cat lives in South Carolina. Marquise doesn't say where he lives, so I'd hope it is also in South Carolina, unless he left it there. Oh, no. Right, we're going to go now, and me and Chris are going to record something special that you will be able to see on Sunday. Ooh. So thank you very much for joining me, Mr. Shredder.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, and hopefully next time you hear me, I'll have an entire voice to give to everybody.
Your looks are more than enough, Mr. Carpenter. You've been average.
Naturally, yeah. Thank you to all the listeners, and thanks for the nice comments in the chat. I think at least three people said it's nice to see me back. So yeah, to all three of you, I love you, and it's good to chat to Jace, and you had to be here. So
yes, I did have to be here. And finally, to all of our wonderful viewers and listeners at the home, on the bus or in the tractor, in the fields, farming for your country, we thank you for your service. Goodbye.